The Comedians by Graham Greene. Dramatized for radio in four parts by Jeffrey M. Matthews. With George Baker as Brown, Peter Jeffrey as Jones, Carol Boyd as Martha, Norman Beaton as Maggio, and Stefan Khalifa as Concasseur. Part 2. After 3 months in America, Brown has returned to Haiti. Some fellow passengers from the boat are planning to stay at his hotel. Mr. Smith, a vegetarian candidate in the 1948 American presidential election, his wife, Jane, and a certain Major Jones. But on arrival at Port-au-Prince, Major Jones has disappeared. He was last seen talking to the captain of the Tonton Macoot, Captain Concasseur.
Well, Major Jones, why are you so important?
Read those letters, Captain. You do read.
You have a British sense of humour, Major. I like that. Yes. Jokes have great political value.
So do weapons, old man.
My personal view of white men is very low, Major. Their colour reminds me of a turd. But I accept them if they are useful to the state.
Oh, I will be, old man. Providing the money's right.
The money is available, but I'm not so sure about your goods.
Well, send someone over to Miami, old man. You'll find it's all there.
Yes. But first, I prefer to get to the truth here, Major. Unfortunately, I know only one way.
Oh, God!
Painful, but highly efficient.
Oh.
So until you convince me...
Oh! Don't stop it!
Martha. Martha.
You're back. You've come back. It is so good to see you.
I have missed you so much.
Oh. You had to go away to find that out?
I hoped it would change things. Has it?
Everything here is exactly as before. But I did miss you. I hoped you would return. And you have.
Now?
Now, be quiet. Be here.
Did your husband comfort you while I was away?
Oh, not Louise. Not anyone. And you?
Well, I've been faithful too, in my way. Your perfume. It's different.
Yours was used up. Louise gave me this for my birthday.
Oh, damn! I forgot.
It is not important.
Sorry.
It doesn't matter. Luis, he is always kind to me, but you who love me, you are the only one to kick me.
Me?
Just as the Tontons kicked Joseph.
Monsieur Brown!
Joseph!
Monsieur Brown, I expected you earlier, sir.
Madame Pineda gave me a lift. She's outside. I want you to drive her home. Get the bus back in the morning.
Very good, monsieur, but first it is the doctor.
Dr. Maggio, he's not in trouble.
Not Dr. Maggio, sir. It's a minister, Dr. Filippo.
Filippo? What the hell's he doing here?
He come 4 nights ago, monsieur. Say, tell nobody, I warn him. The Tontons, they look for you here. But he say, cannot go, he very sick.
Damn.
I say him, go to the mountains. But he no walk, so I give him room. Say, he must leave when you come back.
Oh, you did right, Joseph. Where is he?
The swimming pool. When we hear Madame Pineda's car, we think it is a Tontons. I tell him, go. All the same for you if Tontons catch you in road or hotel. But Monsieur Brown, he be ruined if you caught here. I talk to Tontons while you run quick. Then I see car belong to Madame Pineda. I try run, catch him to say all okay. But he do very bad thing.
What?
You see, Monsieur, please come quick. Swimming pool, quick. There, monsieur, in the shadows.
Oh, my God.
You see, monsieur, wrist cut, throat cut. It's a very bad thing.
Very bad, Joseph. Oh, God, Filippo. Why? And here in my swimming pool.
He's immortal, soul, monsieur. We must pray.
Later, Joseph. Madame Pineda, ask her to drive you to Dr. Maggio.
I am sincere.
And Joseph, not a word to her about this.
Mr. Brown, this good lady, Madame Payne...
Pineda. She was out front alone.
Something is wrong, Mr. Brown?
No. Just catching up. Yes, everything's fine. Joseph?
Yes?
Now that the John Barrymore suite... Is it ready for Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
John Barrymore, the actor. He stayed here.
Before my time, Mrs. Smith, but I can show you his liquor bills.
Oh, a great talent, Mr. Brown. Drowned by alcohol.
The best reason in the world not to touch it. You have a water shortage here, Mr. Brown.
Sometimes. Why?
I'm just wondering, this beautiful swimming pool, empty?
For cleaning, sir. We fill it in the morning.
I'll look forward to a dip then. Say, what's that?
Hmm?
Deep end. Looks like somebody's down there.
Yes, there.
Oh, him. He's our pet beggar. Wanders in sometimes to sleep. Joseph will get rid of him.
Poor man. Maybe we should give him some money.
Well, you can't wake the poor guy.
Well, it's a lousy place to sleep.
He's lucky to have even that, Mrs. Smith. Now, I suggest you let Joseph show you to your rooms.
We'll see you later.
Yes, right after I've cleaned up one or two things.
I am sorry. Filippo was one of the better ones. But his death, it raises certain problems.
Oh, why, Maggio? It's obvious he committed suicide. They can't pretend anything else.
They can pretend whatever suits them, Mr. Brown. You know, we studied anatomy together in Paris. In those days, even Papa Doc was a good man. You should have known him in the 20s, during the typhoid outbreak.
Are you looking for?
Anything which could link Filippo with you. The devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour.
What?
A Catholic prayer. In Haiti it is very apt.
But Filippo killed himself. They can't blame me for that.
He took refuge in your home. For that they can blame you.
Why? I only met him once. At Luis Pineda's. Why the hell didn't he go there and do it?
All the embassies are watched. And who knows? Maybe he believed in your English phrase, an Englishman's home is his castle. So little hope that he seeks safety in a catchword. No, good. There is nothing on him to incriminate you. Now we must move him.
Where?
Well, it cannot be too far away, the roadblocks. They are north and south of here. His legs, please. Mr. Brown.
How did you get past the roadblocks, Maggio?
I said I had to see a woman sick after childbirth. It's a common occurrence. Now, when you return, Mr. Brown, the blood, remember to wash it and also to fill the pool.
I will. Providing we've got any water.
Here we'll do, Mr. Brown. His arm. Please stretch it across. Now the knife. We place it here, a few inches from his left hand.
I don't know, he was left-handed.
You forget we studied anatomy together. It is ironic. No matter how much a man fears life, suicide is still his most courageous act.
But you're a Catholic. I thought you'd have condemned Filippo.
I'm not a practicing Catholic, Mr. Brown. And in Filippo's case, he died a natural death.
A natural death?
Violent deaths are natural here, Mr. Brown. He died of his environment. Oh, God, there's nothing more to do now.
I suppose not. Did he leave a family?
A wife, son of six. He must have thought suicide was safer for them.
So now everything depends on Joseph and the staff. If they talk...
No, they will not.
You seem very sure.
I am, Mr. Brown. Because they know, as I do, that a witness here can suffer just as much as the accused.
Looks like you've got water this morning, Mr. Brown.
It's flowing well. Should fill the pool in another hour.
We sure hope your beggar moved out before it came on. We'd want to share it with a buddy.
No chance of that. No, Joseph saw him off early this morning. Will you join me for breakfast?
I guess not. Jay and I, we reckon we'd go over to the ministry, present our letters to Dr. Philpot.
Then I'd telephone first, just to check.
Check?
It might be prudent. Ministers change very quickly in Haiti.
Well, Philpot's gone. We can always talk to his successor. I mean, he should be interested in our proposals.
Your proposals? You've not told me about them.
Well, let's say I'm a representative, Mr. Brown.
Of the vegetarians of America. The true vegetarians.
Mm. I had no idea there were false ones.
Oh, but there are, Mr. Brown.
Yeah.
Some even eat fertilized eggs.
So what do you plan here?
A center for vegetarian cooking, right in the heart of the city.
Well, the center of Port-au-Prince is a slum, a shanty town.
Then we'll find another site. There must be plenty.
We intend to ask the president and his ministers to the gala opening. Eat the first vegetarian meal. It will be an example to the people.
Mm. I wish you luck, Mrs. Smith. But President Duvalier seldom leaves the palace. No one has seen him for months. He might even be dead, if he can die without a silver bullet.
I hardly expect Mr. Brown to be encouraging, dearest.
Oh, now, Mr. Brown was only having his little joke.
Your breakfast, sir.
Thank you, Joseph.
A petit pied, sir, he desires to join you.
Certainly, Joseph. You've no objections, Mr. Smith?
Well, I reckon not, Mr. Brown, not after the help he gave us yesterday.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Aye, what a magnificent view. Trees, flowers, the water in the bay, the palace of the president. Distance lends enchantment to the view. Your Mr. William Wordsworth wrote that.
And you have come to display what you've written?
Oh, but of course, Monsieur Brown. Here, read.
Uh-huh. Distinguished visitors arrive in Haiti. The Honourable Mr. Smith, narrowly defeated in the 1948 American presidential elections by Mr. H. Truman.
He won by a landslide, Mr. Pierre.
But who knows that in Haiti?
Mr. Smith was accompanied by his elegant wife. Also returning after a business trip was Mr. Brown, the well-loved patron of the intellectual center, the Hotel Trianon. You've excelled yourself, Pierre.
Of course, you let us have copies, monsieur, for the folks back home.
Of course.
But Major Jones, you haven't mentioned him.
Ah, yes, Jones.
Well, Pierre?
Who exactly is Major Jones?
A fellow passenger.
So he was not a personal friend of yours?
Well, we know him, of course. In fact, I rather took to him. Thought he was the best type of Britisher.
Of course. Mr. Brown, I ask you to be frank with me, otherwise I cannot help.
I know nothing about Jones.
But he was planning to stay here.
Obviously he's changed his mind. Gone elsewhere.
Yes, to a luxury suite at the police station.
He's been arrested. Why?
Oh, they found something incriminating in his baggage.
What?
I have been unable to find out. It is possibly a misunderstanding. They are not ill-treating him. Well, not too much, yet.
A British subject in jail? Well, that's monstrous. We must go at once. See our chargé d'affaires.
Forgive me, Monsieur Smith, but that would be the wrong method.
Why?
What do you suggest, Pierre?
That Monsieur Smith sees the Secretary for Foreign Affairs, asks to speak to the Minister of the Interior. Major Jones could then be fined for a technical offense.
Sure. But what exactly is this technical offense?
Your question, monsieur, is in itself a technicality. You must go to the top, see the secretary. He will have read my article, know how important you are.
We will telephone for an appointment immediately.
Your mission, Mr. Smith, interfering in this, it might get you into trouble with the authorities.
Well, it might, Mr. Brown.
Mr. Brown, my husband and I are not afraid of trouble with any authorities.
The authority is not mine, Mr. Brown.
But surely...
To interfere with another department? Not possible.
You could find out what the charge is, Mr. Secretary.
The charge?
Exactly, the charge!
But, Mr. Smith, there may not be a charge.
Then why hold Major Jones in prison?
Why? I suppose something has to be investigated.
Then investigate! In the meantime, I will stand bail for Major Jones any reasonable amount.
Bail? What is bail?
What?
It's a kind of a gift. Your Excellency, to the state, should the prisoner fail to appear for his trial, it can be quite a substantial sum.
You do know about habeas corpus.
Habeas corpus, of course, Mr. Smith. Virgil, Homer, I studied them all, but with so much to do. Especially now I must go to New York. I'm addressing the United Nations, a protest on the way the Americans are supplying arms to our rebels.
Supplying arms to your rebels? You have evidence?
Two men were captured with American revolvers.
American revolvers? You can buy them any place. Frankly, I consider
Mr. Smith, Your Excellency, a word in private?
Very well, Mr. Brown. In here. Well?
Excellency, the presidential candidate is a personal friend of Major Jones. He may also be seeing your president. Alienating him could be a political mistake.
Somebody may have already made that, Mr. Brown.
Exactly. And with your visit to the UN, well, you know how important it is to stay friendly with the opposition.
Naturally.
Then, unless this Jones thing is of truly great importance, I'd arrange for Mr. Smith to see his friend. Prevent it, and he might believe the rumours.
Rumours?
That Jones is being ill-treated.
Yes, the Tontons may have exceeded their instructions.
Then send Jones to a reliable doctor. Get him tidied up.
Of course, we have nothing to conceal, but it happens. Even in your country, a prisoner misbehaves and...
I'm sure that we can rely on Your Excellency. Naturally, I will suggest that Mr. Smith leaves some small compensation with you for any damage Jones may have inflicted on the police.
Very well, Mr. Brown, but only so long as this affair does not involve the President. If it concerns him, there's nothing anyone can do.
And if it doesn't?
I will try to arrange for you and Mr. Smith to visit the prisoner.
Your Major Jones is being prepared. You will wait here till he comes, understand?
A rather ugly customer, wouldn't you say, Brown?
Silence. I will remember you.
Bravo.
Both of you.
I forget him either.
He probably suffers from acidity.
Possibly, Mr. Brown. Now, if only he was a vegetarian.
He'd be a saint?
Well, that'd be up to him. Vegetarianism isn't simply a question of diet. It's a state of mind as well. Vegetables eliminate acidity from the body. They reduce the passion.
That's stopped the world.
I said passion, Mr. Brown, not love.
I'm sorry.
Acidity and passion. You eliminate acidity and you make room for conscience. You allow it to grow.
So?
And one day you refuse to let an innocent animal be slaughtered for your pleasure. Next, and this may take you by surprise, you turn away from killing your fellow man.
So you wouldn't fight a war, Mr. Smith?
Well, I've never claimed that removing acidity removes all passion.
Suppose someone attacked your wife.
If Mrs. Smith were attacked and I had a weapon, no, I could not promise I wouldn't use it, but I would deplore my passion. Yeah, I would certainly deplore it.
You have 5 minutes, Jones. And remember, I'm just outside.
Well, well.
Looks like you resisted arrest.
Well, that's their story. Actually, it looks worse than it is.
Are we worried about you, Major?
Oh, it's one of those things, old man. I say, you wouldn't have a cigarette, would you?
Oh, yes, of course.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Brian. Oh, untipped. Still, mustn't look a gift horse. What? Ah, yes. Well, now what?
Question I was about to ask you, Major. The reason you're here.
Damned if I know.
Mistaken identity.
Oh, could be. Now, personally, old man, I think I was stung. I had the wrong introductions.
I did warn you. Where'd you get them? The introductions.
Oh, a bloke I met last year in Leopoldville.
The Congo?
Yeah, well, I was passing through, old man, a bit of this and that, you know. But it needs sorting out.
How?
The only way I know. Could anyone spare $20?
Well, more if you like, Major.
No, 20's enough. I need it for that goon out there. I want him to pass something on. Ta. Now, paper and pen. A bit scruffy, isn't it? But it'll do. Fine. Envelope?
Sorry.
Ah, yeah, well, I better rephrase it then. In case our goon can read. Yes, that should do it. Oh, don't you knock, old man.
Silence. You've talked enough.
Yeah, well, it looks like you gentlemen will have to excuse me.
Move!
Don't worry, Major. I'll get you out. Even if I have to see the President himself.
Spirit of that man. Oh, it's amazing. Now I know what brought you British through the Blitz.
Perhaps. But I don't think you should get involved any further.
We are involved.
At the moment. But Jones' letter... It was addressed to Captain Concasseur.
The commandant of the Tonton Macoute?
And I prefer not to be involved with them. Hotel Trianon?
So you are back.
Marta.
I was worried.
Everything's okay. Am I seeing you tonight?
I'm sorry, it is not possible.
I see.
No, it is Angel. He is in great pain.
And you think I'm not?
Dr. Maggio says Angel has the mumps, so I must stay with him.
So when do I see you?
Tomorrow night. We have one or two people coming for drinks.
How about your husband?
You have been away. It would be natural for you to visit. You will come.
Of course.
Then I will tell Luis. He will be pleased. He thinks a lot of you.
Monsieur! Monsieur!
Till tomorrow, then.
Yes. And I do love you.
Yes.
Monsieur!
Anton?
Monsieur? The police... It is terrible.
Just calm down, Joseph.
They have found it, sir. The body. The body of Dr. Filippo.
Suicide? Why should Filippo commit suicide?
Fear.
Did he do something wrong, Mr. Brown?
He spoke ill of his president.
Ah, poor, poor man. You know, my dear, I think we must see his widow. Offer our help.
I wouldn't advise that, Mr. Smith.
Flowers. We must send flowers.
Monsieur! Monsieur! Dr. Filippo's funeral. They will stop it at the roadblock. Madame Filippo is very worried.
Well, surely she has nothing to fear now.
This roadblock, Joseph, where is it?
1 mile, monsieur, left at gates of hotel.
In that case, I shall join the cortege. Come along, my dear.
Don't be a damn fool, Smith.
You're not my keeper, Mr. Brown.
For God's sake, you must understand the danger, the kind of country this is.
I have no illusions, Mr. Brown, but I was given a letter of introduction to Dr. Filippo. He was a friend of a friend.
Yes, but going to the funeral, it'll be considered a political gesture.
Maybe, Mr. Brown. But Mr. Smith and I have never been afraid of making a political gesture. So, Joseph.
Ma'am?
A taxi, immediately.
Very well, if that's what you want.
You murderers! They kill my husband!
People, madam, can we be of help?
You are American.
Yes, madam, I'm yes. Mrs. Smith. Yes. What's the problem?
It's these pigs! First they murder my husband, Lord forbid I bury him in consecrated ground.
Who does, madam?
This one here. He prevents us going forward, now he says we cannot leave. Return to my home.
Now look here.
I got my orders, madam.
Orders from whom?
The Minister of Social Welfare.
But inside that coffin, that is the minister.
Not since this morning. Now you go wait.
Don't be ridiculous. That coffin cannot stay in this heat. It's obviously just some fool mistake.
I'm not sure it is a mistake, Mrs. Smith.
But what else could it be?
Revenge. They failed to capture Filippo alive.
So what happens now?
That depends on them.
This way, Capitan.
Perhaps our friend Captain Concasseur will explain.
The hearse! Break it open.
No, you cannot.
Remove the woman.
The monsters. Stop it. Stop it this instant.
Swine, you can't do that to my
wife. Hold on, Smith. It won't help if you get shot. Now relax.
Excellent advice, Mr. Brown. Now put the coffin in my car.
Sir.
The rest of you will leave. Now go now. Except you, old man. And you, Mr. Brown, you come here.
What do you want?
Yesterday, you and Mr. Brown were at the police station.
Correct.
My sergeant says you insulted him.
That's hardly possible.
The next time you see any of my men, you be more careful. Understand? You may return to your woman.
Okay. Like just like it.
Now, Mr. Brown, the American, who is he?
The presidential candidate.
What presidential candidate?
To the United States of America.
Do not joke with me, Brown.
Obviously, you haven't read the newspapers, Captain.
Papers? Why is he in Haiti?
I'd ask the Secretary of State. Mr. Smith saw him yesterday. He also expects to see Dr. Duvalier.
The United States do not have elections now. I know that.
They elect a president every 4 years. Not for life, like here.
So, and explain what he's doing here, with that box of offal.
Attending the funeral of his friend.
His friend? You realize I act under orders.
So did the others, Captain. And we hanged them at Nuremberg.
I do not like arrogance, Brown. Your bartender, Joseph, he was arrogant until I interviewed him. So remember, the Americans, they will go home soon. You will still be here. So do not make any more mistakes.
The mistake, Captain, was yours. You hit his wife. He will not forget that easily.
I intend to get that man, Mr. Brown. I shall telephone the president.
That'll do you no good.
He struck my wife.
I'm not marked, my dear. Not like in Nashville.
Nashville?
Another vacation, Mr. Brown. Tennessee. We have a great love for colored people.
We went as freedom fighters. A white policeman gave me a black eye.
Well, it was different at Nashville. But this, and desecrating a coffin. Why? What good is a dead man to them?
You explain, Joseph.
The people, sir. They're very frightened when they know Tontons have Dr. Filippo. They frighten maybe the president will take their bodies too when they die.
Why? The body's just skin and bone.
And why would the president need dead bodies anyway?
Haiti people very ignorant, madame. The president, he be big voodoo man. So they think maybe he keep Dr. Filippo with him in the palace. Make him work all night.
They think Papa Doc's Baron Samedi? The high priest of voodoo. That's why no one will attack the palace at night. Not while Papa Doc has his zombies for protection. They make better guards than the Tonton Macoute.
Tontons. They be zombies, too. So ignorant people say.
But what do you say, Joseph?
Me, madame? What can I say? I be ignorant. Very ignorant.
In part two of The Comedians, George Baker played Brown, Peter Jeffrey, Jones, Carol Boyd, Martha, Norman Beaton, Maggio, and Stefan Khalifa, Concasseur. Mr. Smith was played by Shane Rimmer, Jane Smith by Pat Starr, Joseph and the Secretary by Ruddy L. Davis, Pierre by Joe Marcel, and Madame Filippo by Corinne Skinner Carter. The sound balance was by Keith Perrin. The Comedians, by Graham Greene, was dramatized by Jeffrey M. Matthews and was directed for World Service Drama by Martin Williamson.